The other thing.
On the other hand, we had a PD position budgeted and we didn't fill it. So it's kind of six of one, half a dozen of another. That's not the reason that we spent $200 more than we budgeted.
Okay. The other thing is just what was brought up about salaries in general, that you were about $100,000 over on salary expense because there was no cut in employees, but you were hoping that somehow a bag of money would drop out of the sky, and it didn't drop out. Now, it's my understanding those same people are working, and there's been a lot of people. Are you waiting for another bag of money to fall out of the sky? It didn't sound like it was going to happen.
Yeah. I think that the best way to answer that, and then I'll let... Sorry, go ahead. Jim.
Why are the people still working there? I mean, we're going on 15 months now, and it ain't happening.
Okay. Let me answer that as best I can. Essentially, the NFC has suggested what we thought a reasonable level of staffing was based on planned revenue, and for several years, the revenues have come in pretty much as anticipated, more or less on target, maybe a little short, but nothing substantial, and the salary levels have come in a bit higher than that. Not a humongous amount, but $100,000 to $200,000 higher, because that is kind of what the status quo is. Most of that, as I understand it, is not unbudgeted positions, but it is a great deal of vacation coverage and pickup positions and temps and overtime and increases in hours and those kinds of things, and they add up. The way to adjust for that, because I guess a lot of that is unavoidable, would probably be reductions of 1 to 2 to 3 FTEs that have been suggested over the past couple of years by the NFC and by the BNB, but haven't been implemented. So that's where we are. What's been basically making up the difference is that there's been some bequests over the past couple of years. But, of course, those are one-time expenses. Those are one-time income. They don't repeat. And there's ways in which spending one-time gifts on ongoing payroll expenses is not always the smartest for financial management, because if money bags do drop on us from the sky, it would be nice to be able to, you know, have that money for a rainy day or to invest in something we can't afford. And instead, we pretty much just run it through maintaining a slightly higher staffing level. So that would be my assessment, Barbara. You can go ahead. If there's something else you want to add to what Jim's. What Jim said.
Well, the only thing that I would correct of what you said was that I don't believe there's any overtime paid at KPFA. That's a rule, and people fight against, although there is pressure sometimes to do it, it's not allowed.
The last time I looked at the payroll, it wasn't a question of overtime, but it's a question of people being paid at their regular salary for more hours than they're scheduled to work each week. Sorry, I didn't mean to call it overtime. I meant to call it unscheduled hours.
Right, that does happen. They fill in.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else on KPFA? All right. What is the last item on the draft agenda? The last item on the draft agenda is Jim's item about the officers and directors' liability insurance, or the errors and omission insurance. I'm going to let Jim introduce it, then I probably have a couple things to say about it, and then I guess he wants to move towards a motion.
Yeah, my... I have a concern about protecting the LSP members from KPFT that are on the Pacifica National Board, and there have been times when the insurance that covers those members has lapsed because of non-payment of the premiums. and nobody seems to know about that until it gets reinstated. And that's not fair to anybody. And I want to make it so that there's a notation on the policy that when those payments are not, when the premiums are not made and the policy lapses, that the insurance company is required to notice someone outside of the national office. I would suggest all members of the NFC, so that we can inform the members that we have from our stations on the Pacifica National Board that they're no longer covered for liability for other individuals and that they're basically going bare, and then they can decide what they want to do. And I'm very concerned about the situation with Pacifica, and I think that that is the very least that the National Finance Committee can do to try to protect the members of the Pacifica National Board. I'd like, if you wanted me to put together a motion, that's what I'd like to do.
Okay. I have some thoughts about that. Anybody else want to contribute here?
This is Richard. I'll second his motion.
Okay. So, Arpal, can
you
second
that
motion?
No, I don't need to.
Yeah, but that's fine.
This sounds very familiar. Let's see. Basically, it says that if the insurance has lapsed for non-payment of premiums, that the insurance company must call someone outside of the national office and notify them about that. Is that about it?
Yes. The reason when I first brought this up, I didn't use the words errors and omissions is because I don't want to get somebody saying, well, that isn't the specific name of the policy, so we didn't put your names on that. So I don't know how we even want to cover that insurance policy, because I don't want to get in a game of semantics with somebody at national office. But there's with an insurance company, they have to be informed of a specific person, a specific name, and a specific location for information to be sent and a method for that information to be sent. And so I don't know if that needs to be put in there. I really don't. If we don't put that in the motion, it's not going to get done correctly. But I don't know what our specific insurance company requires for notification of a lapse of a policy. Does anybody know specifically what the requirements are of our insurance carrier?
Well, I mean, I would assume that they send a letter. I don't know that they send it to anyone in particular. They probably send it to the individual who...
They send it to the...
Noted as the contact. Noted as the contact for the policy.
I want to have an additional person outside of the national office. And if that's all 8 of us or all 10 of us, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to have this relying on somebody's office up there in Berkeley, because we've already lost our name of our foundation already.
That had something to do with some folks in New York, but anyway. Okay, well, let me say a couple of things. Directors and officers' liability insurance is dictated by the bylaws, so it's not optional for the foundation to maintain it. It has to. It's required to indemnify directors. The problem for the foundation is that we had so many lawsuits that the existing carrier that we had for many years, Chartis Insurance, basically bailed on us. The Minia case was the last case that they agreed to handle, and they settled it rather abruptly and then terminated the coverage. We applied to, I believe, over 20 other companies with our insurance broker, and there was only one willing to take us on, and they took us on with twice the deductible and, I believe, 3 times the premium that we were paying, which has been a tremendous burden. probably directors and officers insurance is now sucking up about 1/5 to 1/6 of the total shared services paid by all of the stations at the current level of payment. Maybe a bit higher. In terms of, you know, maintaining the insurance, it's been maintained, even though it's, you know, at some difficult expense. The hope is that over time, if we don't have a significant amount of claims, that we will be able to get out of this sort of high-risk category that we're in. And so far this year, there has only been one lawsuit emanating from Washington, D.C. It's an inter-LSB kind of thing. And I don't believe it has yet reached the deductible level for the insurance company. So they've not yet had any financial impact from that lawsuit. There have been no others, and that is good. But that's the situation with the directors and officers liability. In terms of notification, I don't know that the insurance company is authorized to share this information, to share any kind of information with anyone who's not a director. But there are 5 directors on the National Finance Committee, so it would seem to me that those 5 individuals, whoever they will be in 2014, could be put on the policy as notificationers or people to be notified. But I think probably non-directors could not be because of the nature of who the insurance covers.
That's fine.
So would that work, Jim?
Oh, that's fine. I want somebody, I think we need to have somebody outside of the national office that gets notification if the policy lapses.
Well, that would be, you know, there would be 5 people, 1 in each signal area.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel comfortable with that completely.
Okay, well, Arpal, maybe you could put that in the motion so it's clear. And then I'd support the motion.
All right. Let me read what I have at this point. That there be a notation on the insurance policy that if the insurance has lapsed for non-payment of premiums, that the insurance company must notice the 5 directors on the NFC about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's the errors and omissions policy.
Right, so it's errors and omissions policy. Okay, I'll write that.
Okay. Okay, and I'm going to make 1 technical point just about that, which I don't think factors in here. Hypothetically, it could in the future, which is that probably would not apply if any of those individuals were parties to a lawsuit against the foundation. There is a director currently who is a party to a lawsuit against the foundation, and probably that wouldn't work for the insurance company.
Okay. That sounds.
But then any other individuals could be notified.
Yeah, that's understandable. That's good.
Okay. Any comments on this motion?
This is Richard. I like that very much. And I think that your last addition there of any director who is currently involved in a lawsuit should not get that information. I don't think they should get any information, but that's my will.
Well, I think from the insurance company's point of view, they wouldn't like that.
I'm not going to let
that. Tony to the stack.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
No, just a clarification that any director that is suing the foundation.
Yes, that's what I meant. Any director who is in a plaintiff position.
Yeah. And I understand Tony's comment, and I totally agree with that, Tony.
I'm sorry, Tony, if I wasn't clear. That's what I meant.
I would just totally 100% support this motion. And apparently, I think this does happen quite frequently that the insurance lapses and we don't know about it and it gets paid over a number of years. So I 100% support this motion.
Michael, do the spec?
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
What's the plan to me when our poll reread it as the five directors are each in a different signal area? Is that it?
Yeah, the five directors on the NFC are one in each signal area.
Yeah, maybe that should be specified.
What was that?
That wasn't specified in the motion, that's what I was saying. It just said five directors.
Yeah.
Well, it does say the five directors on the NFC. Yeah, let's notice the five directors on the NFC about it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and the five directors in the NFC are always, by default, one from each signal area. So.
Mm-hmm. By the bylaws, I think.
Okay.
All right, so the motion's on the floor, so there is either further discussion or we will move to a vote. This is your last chance. Okay, sounds like it's time for a vote. Paul, can you call the roll?
Can I suggest the chair ask if there's objection?
Yeah, you can suggest that. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay, done. All right, so I think that we are all set. Our next meeting will be on February 25th. And at that point, hopefully, if things go well, we will turn things over, and there will be a new NFC chair. If things don't go well, we will carry on until that happens. Welcome back to the people that are returning, and for any of you who may not return, thank you so much for your service to the NFC and your service to Pacifica. And... with that,
that goes for our chair, too.
Thank you, Tracy.
And with that, we are adjourned until February 25th, pending random emergency meetings that we will try not to call. And have a good month, everybody.
You, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, too, Tracy.
Thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.